Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Time now for Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Mike.
And good morning, everybody, on this beautiful, sunny Tuesday morning, Michael, but the weather is coming.
Can you believe that? Man, I cannot believe.
I thought we had winter in our rearview mirror, but I guess we're going to get one more shot.
Turn the air off at your house or bring the fans in. Whatever. I don't know. But, you know, turn the heat up, brother. Turn the heat up. I mean, it's going to be like freezing low tonight.
Yeah. Well, hopefully this will be the last shot, and it'll get nice and sunny and warm and not raining for the Derby next week. Last night, I have become enthralled with this Kentucky volleyball team.
I hear you.
Man, are they good. And not only them, but the women's volleyball in general. I told you that I've got a granddaughter, Addison, who's a sophomore in high school, has been on a traveling volleyball team for a number of years, and we've been all over Colorado and Detroit and Omaha and Kansas City, Minneapolis, watching volleyball tournaments. And the passion with which these girls play is just unbelievable. Not only did I watch Kentucky last night beat Purdue in three straight sets, just like they did against Western, but I watched the entire Wisconsin and Florida match. Wisconsin is the number one seed. Kentucky's the number two seed. But I'm telling you, those Florida girls gave...
They are good.
They gave Wisconsin all they wanted last night. So
I watched Florida... over the last few years, they've been kind of the kingpin of volleyball, I believe, in the SEC. Mm-hmm. And I've watched them play Kentucky. And Mary Wise was the coach down there. I don't know if Mary's still coaching or not. Mark Wise's wife, she's been really, really successful developing that volleyball program in Florida. Of course, you know, you ought to have access to a ton of players in Florida with the weather. Mm-hmm. You know, they play it on the beaches down there. Mm-hmm. It's probably it's a good high school sport. And I tell you what, they've got a nice program down there. I watched, man, those girls are tall too, weren't they?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, Florida girls were tall.
Yeah, you've to be decent, you've got to have girls that are 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", across that front line. And last night's game was really interesting. And by the way, we'll get Coach Skinner on before the semifinals on Thursday. And all of women's volleyball ought to be excited because those two semifinal matches are going to be on ESPN.
Not the real ESPN?
Not ESPN2 or
Plus.
Extra or Plus or any of that stuff. They're going to be on ESPN, which will be great exposure for the volleyball program. But it was interesting last night. They started out against Purdue. They were down 11-6 in the first set. And Coach Skinner called timeout. And when we get him on here, the first thing I'm going to ask him is what he said to those young ladies, because they came out after that and turned it completely around. And Allie Stumler and Avery Skinner just took control of that match. And, man, were they good.
Stumler, right across the river here in Floyd Knobs, you know, she's a junior now. Mm-hmm. She's quite a player.
She is.
And the other young lady from Louisville has got a lot of potential, doesn't start, Tharp. Mm-hmm. And she's a sophomore, I think, if I'm correct, maybe a junior. But they like her a lot up there, too. And so, you know, volleyball's big around here. Volleyball is, particularly women's volleyball, is big in Jefferson County.
Yeah, Yeah. Well, it's fun to watch. And if you're not doing anything Thursday night, I encourage you to watch that match on those matches on ESPN, because they will be good. Number one seed Wisconsin takes on Texas, and UK plays Washington, who was the team that knocked U of L out. So,
right.
So those will be two good matches. Now, as czar of the transfer portal, does that carry over into recruiting high school, or are you just interested in people that are in the transfer portal?
I'm interested in guys who have raw numbers that I think can play, score, rebound, whatever it is. Just give me the raw numbers. Tell me who the kids – you know, that's – I was reading an article we've talked about a lot here, and I think that you and I talked earlier after the Derby. I'll try to reach out to some of my friends in the SEC, because the SEC has supposedly done a very nice job with grad transfers across the league, some better than others, but I think everybody has struck gold with some guys they think. You know, I just wonder how there's going to be – Well, the conversation started because no one has been able to go out and live recruit for almost a year now,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the colleges have been relying on previous views of players in these tournaments when they were younger. And then as some of the tournaments start to come back in the state playoffs, I guess they get some video from those. And then they Zoom, okay? Then they Zoom. So where I'm going with this is it's so hard to project. I mean, Carl Anthony Towns came out, and you know, he was a, you know, he's a can't miss guy. It's just a matter of when,
right?
Yep. And what's the kid from Louisville? At Utah, terrific player,
Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell. First time I saw Donovan Mitchell play against us, and I've told some former U of L guys that I know, and he just had the body mannerisms, Dan, and you know what I'm talking about. He just he went to the right place at the right time. He had a great feel for the game. Then he develops his jump shot. Now he's a special pro. But some guys just jump out at you as with their ability and the way they play and their body language and how they understand the game. So you got high school guys you don't have that good feel for like you used to. You
right.
haven't tracked them through all these camps, and you haven't sat down in their house and see how they respond with the parents or the brothers or sisters, whatever it may be. You don't get that feel. But when you go to the portal, okay, you have guys who have established numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they've shown you that they can do certain things. Now, you have to evaluate against whom did they do those.
Right.
Okay, that's
exactly.
That's a big deal.
Well, sure it is.
And then you got to look at who they played for in what conference. And maybe you have a relationship with the coach at the school they're leaving. Maybe it's Bob McKillop at Davidson, who's a terrific coach, has been there a long time. I first met Bob when he was on Long Island coaching. And so – you know, that's that the portal is going to be interesting to see how many, not how many guys play well, it's how many mistakes are made. How many guys that were overvalued and went to certain schools and weren't what
and
they
don't were, work out, yeah,
weren't what they pay, were paying what, to be.
The reason I ask you about high school players is all of a sudden Gonzaga has risen to the top of college basketball programs. They lose Suggs. He announces yesterday that he's going pro, and I imagine he'll be at least top five, maybe top three picks. I think there's
That's what they're saying, yeah.
There are a couple of experts out there that say he's going to go number three. But then they immediately reload with the number one player in the country, Chet Holmgren, who announced yesterday that he's going to Gonzaga. So Mark Few's doing a terrific job with that program and getting some outstanding players.
He is, and it just goes to show you that program pretty much in the early years when Few was there really was built on international players of some sort. And, and the recruiter, Tommy Lloyd, is going to Arizona as the head coach. So but with Suggs being from Minneapolis, I think Holmgren, he's from Minnesota, is he not? A little bit of a connection there to go from Middle America all the way to a little tiny town in Washington.
I believe his father played for Minnesota, for the University of Minnesota.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
I think so.
Wow.
And you know, you got you got to wonder how that's going to sit. That's the second great high school player in a row from Minnesota that winds up going to Gonzaga. You wonder how that's going to sit with the boosters of the Gophers up there.
Well, I mean, they already got rid of Richard Pitino, so I think you can already tell how they felt. But it's not just Chet Holmgren. Also, they also got Hunter Salas, who right now is sixth in the 247 composite rankings. Yeah. So you've seen them. They have fully immersed themselves in major college recruiting, getting the guys that usually that are reserved for the Kentuckys and the Dukes and the Kansases.
Well, they've been to enough Final Fours. They've been number one this year the whole year. I mean, they've gotten some unbelievable exposure. And from what I understand, they've upgraded over the last 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is, their facilities, which were kind of shaky. A little small place they played in, and I think they did a renovation of that. So they have been on the move. You have to watch them if you're anybody that's recruiting against them, because they have a lot of success. And, Green, what are we going to do when you get a in-show booking, or I get an in-show booking, or Dan gets an in-show booking? We got like bells and whistles or something.
We can continue the V-Show tradition of doing the goal horns.
Yeah, let's do that. I've got an in-show booking. What do you think, Green? Let's roll it. I'm proud to announce that we're going to get Ali Stumbler tomorrow at 10:30.
Oh, terrific.
Floyd Knobs' own Ali Stumbler. And we're going to get her at 10:30 tomorrow morning, straight from Omaha.
Oh, that is terrific.
How about that? Big shout out to Chris Scholes of the UK media department. He arranged that for us. I texted him this morning, and he was kind enough to text back. And I asked for either Coach Skinner or Allie. And we got Allie at 10:30.
Well, we can ask Allie what Coach Skinner said when that first time out because that woke up everybody, whatever he said at that point.
And I'll have to ask you.
We got established. That's unassisted booking for Mike Pratt at 10:14 a.m.
Speaking of assist, no, I won't go there. you might have avoided some of those, but when Adolph called timeout or halftime, that was always a trip when he was unhappy. Always a trip. Do you remember, quick story, I know you want to get to something else. We're playing like Mississippi or Mississippi State, somebody we should be up. Mississippi wasn't very good. State was good, but Mississippi was not very good. And so we're playing them at home, and I don't know if you remember, but and people – well, the names will remain anonymous, but he goes into the locker room. We're sitting on those long, skinny wooden
benches.
Oh, yeah. And you wouldn't believe it. The locker room, you know, it was not up to snuff, but it was what it was. So we're lined up in there. He comes in, gives his coat to Dr. Claude Vaughn, our trainer. And as he does that, he looks around. He starts going down. Casey and I used to talk about this, laugh about this, goes down. And he gets everybody. I think he even got you a little bit. Was a little unusual, but I think he even nicked you a little bit. He goes through the whole team, and he gets to one guy. And he stands there, and he goes, and you little SOB. And that's all he would say, because the guy never got in the game. You know who I'm talking about. What names will remain anonymous.
Well, I'll tell you when he nicked me really good, and I'm going to have to clean this up for public radio. But
I don't know. We got the dump button. If you want to slip just one or two of them in there.
Well, that's good. That's good, because I'll use dump instead of the word that he used. And so we're playing our junior year. I signed a Big Ten letter of intent to go to Wisconsin. And then it was after later on in the recruiting process that Kentucky really got active, and I wound up coming here. But our junior year, if you remember, we scheduled a game, or we didn't, Kentucky did.
Oh, I remember it
against,
well.
Against Wisconsin.
For you.
Yeah.
That's what was for you.
Oh, yeah. Against Wisconsin in the Chicago Stadium. And I think there were 20-some busloads of people. Batavia is only about 40 miles from Chicago Stadium. And there were 20-some busloads of people that came from Batavia to see this game. And we were ranked number one in the country at that point. And Wisconsin had one of the worst teams in the Big Ten. And so we play that game. And we get beat.
We play like pigs. That was a bad game. We threw a clunker.
We got beat, and I was awful. And so we're in the locker room after the game, and as you said, with Coach Rupp's habit, he would go down the line, and he would, you know, tell each one of you how badly you played. So he comes to me after that game. I'll never forget this as long as I live, because I was so embarrassed and played so poorly. And he said, "And you, we scheduled this game for you. We scheduled this game in Chicago so your people could come in and watch you play. And we scheduled against Wisconsin, the team that you almost went to. And what did you do? You dumped in my hat and pulled it down over my ears." And then he goes down the line a little bit and comes back and says it all over again. You dumped in my hat and pulled it down over my ears.
And Harry Lancaster was over in the corner smoking his Chesterfield, just watching the activity, right? Trying to check out what's on our faces. I remember coming out of that hotel. After we ate, so go take a walk. You know, don't lay in bed,
right?
And just, you know, lay in bed. Go out and take a walk. So three or four of us went out and walked. I remember walking out the front door of that hotel, looking around. There was a bank near it, wherever we stayed, and they had the big sign with the temperature. It's minus 10 at 1 o'clock.
Yep.
And we all turned right back around and went upstairs.
Home. Yeah.
I mean, minus 10. We played in the old Chicago Stadium, and it felt like it was minus 10. You know, there weren't anybody there from Wisconsin, didn't draw anybody, and we had some fans. But, I mean, it was like a BB bouncing around. The game was.
Yeah.
There was nobody there.
Yeah.
It was cold.
No, it was awful. And that was easily the worst experience of my career at the University of Kentucky.
Remember that game well.
Speaking of the czar of the transfer portal, yesterday Jeff Brazillo was on with Jeff Greer, and he was talking about Kentucky and Texas being winners of the transfer war so far.
I think it's probably Kentucky and Texas. Kentucky, they got Oscar Tshiebwe back in January. They got Kellen Grady. I think that answers a couple of questions. Questions that they had. Grady will provide some shooting, some experience. Tshiebwe is going to step in and probably start immediately down low. And then Texas, they've reloaded, and they did it in pretty much a week span. They got Devin Askew transfer from Kentucky. He could start at the point right away. Timmy Allen was a first-team All-Pac-12 player at Utah. He's coming in. And then they got Christian Bishop, the big man at Creighton. I think he led the nation in two-point percentage from the field. Came on really strong down the stretch. So I think those three guys could really make an impact for them.
Yep. Everybody, every decent player that's in the transfer portal right now has a connection to Kentucky. Kentucky, everybody thinks Kentucky's going to get all of these players. And also yesterday with Jeff Brazillo, he talked about C.J. Fredericks possibly going to UK. He paused for a little bit before he said
there was one name for Kentucky. C.J. Frederick, Iowa guard, entered the transfer portal. He's been a rumor for a couple months now on that he was possibly going to leave Iowa and go back closer to home. Cincinnati native, played his high school ball in Kentucky, and he entered the portal this morning officially. And the buzz, I guess, is that Kentucky is an early favorite. And if he ends up going there, that's just – he's an elite shooter. He shot 46% last year, 47% this past season from three. And that was a weakness, obviously, for Kentucky last year. But now if they did get him, add in Kellen Grady, and it just – it kind of changes the trajectory of their offense. It just gives them a little bit more versatility and makes them, a little bit more dangerous in the half court. So, I think Kentucky's probably the favorite in that one early. I don't know if Louisville is going to get involved, but most of the talk has surrounded him coming back closer to home, which is in the Cincinnati Kentucky area.
Well, Dan, closer to home might be Cincinnati, the University of. Mm-hmm. Now, that was a strange transfer in a couple regards. His dad played for the coach at Iowa. I can see him right now. But he played for him, I believe, somewhere. No. At Iowa, the current coach.
Oh, Fran.
McCafferty. Yeah, he played for him. Now he's leaving. The other thing is, there was a real connection there, okay, from his dad and him. Now, the other thing about the kid is he's been hurt a lot. I was reading about him. He was hurt last year a lot. He was hurt the year before. And his production's kind of gone down with some foot injuries, knee injuries. But the kid can flat light it up if he's healthy. So do you take a chance on somebody that is injury prone, no matter where he's from, and use a scholarship? You only have 13. I don't know.
That was going to be my next question. All of these kids can't go to Kentucky. I mean, they've got, what, three, maybe four incoming freshmen. We don't know exactly who's coming back from last year's team. They've already gotten two transfers. I mean, with 13 scholarships, I would think you'd have to be pretty careful at this point who you do want to sign.
And also plug into the fact that Keon Brooks is in the NBA draft process to see what they think of him. And then Davion Mintz, is a guy I think will come back.
For that extra year.
Yes, for the extra year. I just don't see there being a big market from what I hear and read for guards in Europe. And he's not an NBA player now. He'll be in the G League. And maybe he'll Van Fleet, I never thought, was going to be an NBA player when he was at Wichita State. Really liked him as a college player. Man, he's been lighting it up after a couple years in the G League. So never say never in that regard. But I would say Louisville's got a shot at this Frederick kid. You know, being close, Max ties into the greater Cincinnati area.
Yep.
I would say if they really go after him, they would have a legitimate shot at him.
Yeah. Speaking of lighting it up, there were some really impressive performances last night in the NBA. There was a double overtime game in Denver. The Nuggets,
Boyd really played well.
He was unbelievable. That's we're talking about Nikola Jokic. Had 47 points. He was 20 of 31 from the field. You don't see those kinds of shooting percentage anymore. 15 rebounds. Jay Morant had 36 points and 12 assists. That game, as I said, went to double overtime. But I want to talk about Steph Curry and the role that he is on, Michael. Last night, if you didn't see it, the Warriors, who are a completely depleted team, Green is in and out of the lineup. Klay Thompson is gone for the second year in a row. Wiseman, their first-round pick, just got hurt. He's not playing. Everybody in the gym knows that Curry's got to score 40 points for them to have a chance of winning. And Philadelphia, although they were without Simmons last night, Philadelphia is one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. And the Warriors
have the best. I think they do have the best record.
Well, you talk about the Nets, and this, I'm getting off track here, but I heard a stat yesterday. I mean, Durant's hurt again. Kyrie Irving plays whenever Kyrie feels like playing.
When the world's flat.
And this is a stat I heard yesterday. When the three big guys, Durant and Irving and Harden, have played together this season, it's under 200 minutes. Under 200 minutes for the whole season have all three of them been on the court at the same time.
Seven total games,
thanks. But Steph Curry, 49 points last night, 10 out of 17 from three-pointer. And this kid plays all the time. And he weighs about a buck 50.
He's coming off some kind of, was it a knee or a foot injury?
Yeah.
He sat out a few games because of that, but it was legit.
But as I said, everybody knows he's got to score 40 points for them to have a chance to win. And he just goes out and keeps doing it and keeps doing it and keeps doing it.
Do you want me to tell you what this fella, he's not young anymore. I remember when he was a pup and I was with the original Charlotte Hornets. He and his brother used to go with their mother back to the family room.
Uh-huh.
But those kids were out shooting ball. I mean, they were out shooting ball as soon as – and everybody, nobody said anything. They're out there on the old Charlotte Coliseum floor just playing, having a good old time. But his numbers on the streak you're referring to, he's averaged 39 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists over 10 games in April. 54% from beyond the arc with the tray.
Unbelievable.
Aren't those staggering numbers?
Unbelievable. He might be the best shooter that's ever played the game.
And to say that, he's got unlimited range. I mean, that unlimited range.
Like they used to say about Pete Maravich, he comes across half court, he's in his range.
No, he'd let it go. He might not make it, but he wasn't worried about that. I mean, Pete was, not a percentage shooter. He was a volume shooter. But this kid, amazing touch.
No, that people know that if they stop him, they'll win the game for sure. Last night he had 49. Okay, Wiggins had 16. And some guy named Lee came off the bench and had 12. Those were the only three players in double figures.
Damian Lee is a Louisville guy.
Oh, okay. All right. That's an impressive, impressive run that he has been on.
Oh, there's no question. And Embiid is on that kind of run in the East with Philly. He's put up some huge numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Damian Lillard, boy, can he shoot it. Man. They got some guys, they got some guards in that league. If you're a high school or college guy, and obviously fundamentals are really important. And but if you're watching all this happen, you got to say to yourself, yeah, I got to spend some time shooting the ball beyond the arc, don't I? I
mean, yeah. And that's what the game's become. You can shoot 30% from the 3-point line and that's as good as shooting 45%, and not very many people can shoot 45% from the 2-point range. So you might as well take the 3-pointer and hope it goes in.
Well, we got some more clips here from yesterday with Jeff Borzello. Well, we've got to get our guest in. Man, time flies when you're having fun.
We'll go to a break. You're listening to Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Louisville, 680 and 105.7.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 per hour plus a $175 weekly bonus for some shifts. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Listen, baby. Ain't no mountain high, ain't no valley low, ain't no river wide enough, baby.
If you need me, call me, no matter where you are, no matter how far.
Don't worry, baby.
Just call my name, I'll be there in a hurry. You don't have.
You're locked on Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
And welcome back to Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel. We're pleased to welcome in Vicki Oliver, trainer of Kentucky Derby contender Hidden Stash. Vicki, I know this is a very busy time of day for a thoroughbred horse trainer. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
We did a little research, and if Hidden Stash makes it to the starting gate, you will be only the 18th woman trainer to start a Kentucky Derby horse. Tell us what that's all about.
Oh, I mean, I think it's exciting. I actually didn't know it was 18. I didn't know that. But it's exciting to have one, especially with the clientele we have had in the past are mostly racing fillies. So I always dreamed that I thought I'd have one in the Oaks, but I didn't think I'd ever have one in the Derby. But it's been a thrill.
Well, let's talk about that, because your dad and mom, Watts and Sally Humphreys, have a farm in Central Kentucky, and their business plan, as you just said, is to race the fillies and sell the colts. But they don't own Hidden Stash. That's that colt's owned by one of your newer clients, I believe, BBM Racing.
That's correct. It was founded by Brian Clancy and Brendan O'Brien and Braxton, who's one of my best friends. And Brian Clancy trained from long ago when we were in New Jersey. And Brian went and merged with a company with Brendan O'Brien, who's one of his business partners. And they put this syndicate together. And it's been an intimate of friends and friends of friends, and everyone knows each other one way or the other. And he's put this syndicate together. And this was the second year of the syndicate. This would be considered BBN2, that this horse is in.
And BBN, as everybody knows, stands for Big Blue Nation. That's kind of an unusual name for a guy from New Jersey, huh?
Yeah. Brian's a big basketball guy. He actually was a big Florida Gator, and he was a big basketball guy. And he had two basketball boys that were thinking about coming to UK, and he'd come in here and interview with the boys here. So he's been a big follower of basketball and a big follower of UK.
And now, Hidden Stash, I believe last Wednesday, worked a half in 47-4. You'll work him one more time before the Derby?
Yeah, he'll work Saturday. It'll probably just be an easy 5 weeks, just a big air work. We did the solid work last week, and then just try to get that out of the way before the rain came, and then we'll just do a big air work on Saturday. Nothing off the charts. It'll just be probably like a 102 or something like that, and just keep some air in them and keep them ticking over.
Now, will that work be at Churchill, Vicki, during the time set aside for the Derby and Oaks horses?
No, he will work at Keeneland, and then we'll ship him to Churchill on Tuesday morning.
Okay, and Rafael Bejarano, is that your Derby jock?
That is correct.
Okay, all right. Well, he's been on the horse and should know the horse. It's got to be very exciting. The best a woman trainer has ever done was back in 1992. Shelley Riley ran second with Casual Eyes, and of course that was the Derby that the only Derby Pat Day won with Little E.T. So it's got to be very exciting, man or woman, to have a horse in the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'd love it if we're second or better.
I bet you would, Vicki. I bet you would. Yeah. Well, Bejarano has been on Hidden Stash the whole time, correct?
Yes. We had another jock his first two starts, and then Bejarano's been on him ever since.
Well, how about we're talking about Hidden Stash for the Derby. Tell us a little bit about your fillies. I know you guys are heavily involved in them, or with them.
Yeah, we have a really nice – we have a couple of really nice fillies. I thought – actually, we thought we could have a couple of fillies that could be Oaks material, but they haven't come around as quickly as we'd like. A filly that won last year, a Pioneer of the Nile, but she needed a little more time to grow up. And another filly that we had that we were hoping she'd break her maid this winter, and she didn't. So we just – but I think they'll be in a lot of three-year-old stakes later on in the year.
Now, do you have any other horses that'll be running Derby Day or Oaks Day, Vicki?
We possibly will have a that horse, Smart Remark, in the sprint. That's a possibility. And maybe one filly in the A of the van on Oaks Day. But actually, usually we have quite a few running Derby weekend. But because Keeneland started so early, and Derby so early, a lot of our horses didn't get started at Keeneland until mid-meet or end of the meet. So we'll probably won't run them back till middle of May. So it'll be all concentration will be on Hidden Stash.
Well, you had some success down in Tampa, right? You won with, Kentucky Ghost. You won there. You finished second with Flippant. You were on a pretty good roll down there.
Yeah, we actually had a very good meet at Tampa. Gulfstream's not as kind to us when we go there, but we had a good meet at Tampa, and Kentucky Ghost is running back for BBN on Friday, which we're excited to see him run because he ran a huge race at Tampa. It was probably his career best race, so I think he's come back off his layoff in really good form, and we're excited to see him run on Friday.
Now, that's at Keeneland, correct?
Correct.
Now, when it comes to athletic teams, you know, coaches are always concerned with the periphery, what I call the family, friends, and fools that surround these players when they're young. But what are you going to do? I mean, will all of your ownership team be able to get into to Churchill and be a part of and enjoy and be a part of this?
I hope so. Luckily, that's not my problem. our job is to get the horse to the race and do the best we can on the horse side of it. And that's the logistics. We'll leave that to the 300s to get that taken care of.
Well, Vicki, it's going to be terribly exciting. You know the atmosphere around Churchill on Derby Week, and we wish you the very best of luck. And I think it would be very cool if you were the first woman to ever win the Kentucky Derby.
Well, thank you very much. I think it would be too.
All right, have a great week, Vicki.
Thanks, Vicki.
All right, thank you. Take care.
Watts Humphrey has really built a stable, hasn't he? Yeah,
yeah.
He's been really good.
He's been in the game for a long, long time. And Rusty Arnold was his private trainer for a long, long time. And then Rusty started taking some other clients when Vicki came along. So they're homebreds. As I said, they try to sell all their colts. One or two falls through the cracks every year. But they try to sell all their colts. They keep all their fillies. They kind of split them between Vicki and Rusty. And they also buy some yearling fillies every year. But that's their business model, and it's been successful for them. So as Vicki said, she always dreamed that she might have an Oaks filly someday, because that
was her bag.
But to have a starter in the Kentucky Derby, and he will be a long shot. There's no.
That was my next question. What do you think that horse will come to?
I'm going to guess, because he had a real nice race at Tampa. He closed a lot of ground, ran second, and just got beaten. That's where he got the majority of his points that make him eligible to run in the Kentucky Derby. But then they brought him up to Keeneland, and the race that you and I saw on Bluegrass Day, he ran fourth in the Bluegrass and was up the track a little bit. So, you know, just to have a horse in the Kentucky Derby is unbelievable. But he'll be a long shot. I bet he'll be 40 or 50 to 1. But outside of Essential Quality, who I think will be a big favorite, there's a lot of horses that have a chance. After him, I think this Derby is pretty wide open. In fact, Mike, there's a publication called Thoroughbred Daily News that I read every morning. It's the first thing.
Your working Bible.
The first thing I read every morning is my Bible. The second thing I read every morning is the Thoroughbred Daily News before ESPN or any of that stuff. And they had, this morning, they came up with their top 20 horses in the Derby, and I was shocked to see King Fury, who right now is still on the outside. I think he needs one more defection to get in the Derby, but he only has 20 points. He ran in the Lexington, which is at Keeneland, but a much lower Derby prep race than is the Bluegrass. But they had him on their list number 5. So
give us the list.
Well, I'm
Essential Quality.
I'm doing this from memory. So
that's
you,
good.
You
that's
have
good.
To. They had Essential Quality number 1.
Yep.
They had Known Agenda number 2.
Known Agenda.
That's the horse that won the Florida Derby. Has always had a lot of talent, but is green as grass. I mean, he has no clue what he's doing. He's just out there running around the track. The horse they had third was a horse that I know you like, Oxbow Charlie.
Yeah.
They had him number third. They had Highly Motivated, which is Chad Brown's horse that ran second Essential Quality in the Bluegrass. They had him fourth, and they had King Fury fifth on their list.
I haven't read a single word about King Fury. I need to research that.
He won one or two races last year as a 2-year-old at Churchill, but he's trained by Kenny McPeak, and he is owned partially by Three Chimneys Farm, and now I can't remember who the other co-owner is. Might be Fern Stable. Anyway, He's trained by Kenny McPeak. He got a late start, but he won the Lexington down at Keeneland very impressively. And if he gets in, he could be a contender. So
we'll, no super stock?
Super stock's down the line a little bit. I think the knock on super stock is that race in Arkansas just set up perfect for him. I mean, Concert Tour, who is now off the Derby.
Baffert's horse.
Yeah, Baffert's horse. He's off the Derby trail. He will resurface in the Preakness. And Cato River went out and set just unsustainable fractions. They were going too fast. And Superstock he was in the catbird seat. He sat right behind them and passed them. Speaking of Baffert, this is really interesting. Baffert, you go down Baffert's shed row, and you know you see horses that cost $500,000, $750,000, $1,000,000. He won a stake race over the weekend at Santa Anita with a Curlin horse that cost $3.65 million as a two-year-old. So you go down Baffert shed row and just one expensive horse after the other. The only starter that Baffert is going to have in the Derby this year is a horse called Medina Spirit. He ran second in the Santa Anita Derby behind that Candy Ride horse, Rock Your World. And Medina Spirit sold as a yearling for $1,000. $1,000. He then changed hands again in a two-year-old in training sale for $35,000. So all these $500,000, $1 million horses that Baffert had, the only one he got to the Derby this year cost $1,000 as a yearling.
That's what you call, compared to his shed row, that's what you call a cheapie.
It's amazing that they even got Bob to take this horse.
Yeah, that's true. He doesn't like to fish in that pond. He wants to fish in a bigger pond, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's how he got to be the great. Now, you know, at some point, he had to really do well to get to that pond. But that's the pond that he likes to fish in today.
I can't remember a year where he's had a list of Derby contenders, or rather a lack of a list of Derby contenders, whether it be, you know, horses get hurt or he just doesn't have a stable there. You're just so used to seeing him have, you know, either the favorite or the second favorite and the fourth favorite and something like that. It's a really weird year because of that.
Yeah, and I think he would have had the favorite.
With Life Is Good.
With Life Is Good, who I believe sold as a yearling for $650,000.
Is he going to bring that horse back in the Preakness?
No. He was injured, and I think they even did a little operation.
Oh,
on
really?
Him. Yeah, and he's turned out now. Co-owner is Windstar Farm. He's turned out now at Windstar Farm. So it would be fall at best before he comes back. But Concert Tour is going to point for the Preakness now.
Because even like last year, I mean, he had Nadal and Charlatan, who were his two, like, quote-unquote big guns. They both get hurt, and then he wins the Derby anyways with Authentic.
With Authenticity. And, of course, he's been on such a roll. I believe, isn't he tied with Ben Jones for the most Derby winners of all time? And, of course, he's had the last two Triple Crown winners, American Pharoah and Justified. And so he knows what he's doing. He sure does.
Well, now that we know Crean, who is our Robin, our wingman, but now that we know he follows the horses, Crean, fill in the blanks. Who is your favorite? And if you're going to go out and buy a $10 Exacta box, who would you put in it? Three horses, $10 Exacta box. You got to hit the hip, but who are your three horses?
And it's just so hard to get away from Essential Quality because we saw all these upsets on the Derby trail, and he's like the one favorite that actually won his race. So I think that's who I'm on right now. I haven't seen anyone that I think that could beat him. As far as Exactas go, I'm really intrigued by Bourbonic, who won the Wood at 72-1. Because when you look at it, the Wood was stacked up as it was, quote-unquote, the most competitive Derby prep race of all the ones. It was supposed to have, you know, the most horses that were going to be in the Derby field, really competitive. It was a slow pace, and Bourbonic still finds a way, despite a slow pace, to come from off the pace and close really strong and win. And I see that. I was like, and that was supposed to be the top prep race? And I said, you got to I think you got to give him a chance, and I think you get some pretty good odds on him. Then I also like highly motivated from the Bluegrass as well, because I thought he gave a really good challenge to Essential Quality. But you can't pick him to win the race because he lost that race to Essential Quality. So I'm thinking right now, with a lot of subject to change within the next weekend and a half, that would be my three horse exacta.
Do either of you like Hot Rod Charlie?
He wouldn't be in my top three.
Okay.
But
you're going to get a good number for him. I
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I am too. I'm intrigued by what I read. You're the guru. You're the czar, Dan. So and now your wingman green.
I've got some competition in there.
No, he's just your wingman. He can fill in the blanks for you.
That's for sure. Of course, I think a lot of people around here will be cheering for Essential Quality, not only betting on him, but the fact that he's trained by a local guy, Brad Cox, a local trainer, has never won the Kentucky Derby. I think that would be cool. And he's owned by Godolphin. And Godolphin, of course, is owned by the ruling family of Dubai. And, you know, a lot of people would say, well, you know, they've spent all this money on horses. They've never won the Derby. And, you know, would that really be fair? But, I mean, you have to go back and look at how that family has affected the economics of the thoroughbred business in Central Kentucky. I mean, there are a lot of people in Central Kentucky that have made a lot of money because Sheikh Mohammed and his brothers have been buying their horses over the years. So given the fact that they have supported, they own farms in Central Kentucky. They
pay taxes.
Exactly. They employ people in Central Kentucky. I think it'd be pretty cool if Godolphin won one. So you're not going to get any, he'll be the favorite. But I think a lot of people will be cheering for that horse.
Oh, absolutely. It's like when our friend Dale Romans had a couple horses, and you had to pull for Dale whether you thought they could win or not. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, local guys, big, legendary type guy in the horse racing business.
Yeah, and it's such an exciting time, and everybody becomes a horse fan on Kentucky Derby week. So we'll have more people talk about horse racing. We'll have more trainers on the show. We'll have some jockeys on the show, and we'll have some quote-unquote experts on the show to give us their picks so we can throw those out when we start betting.
And that's exactly where I was going to start that expert picks with our man Crean. I mean, he came with them, and you know, that starts the whole thing. From now on, we're rolling out experts. Crean's at the top, and the list will grow.
Yeah, and I told you the other day, my under-the-radar horse is a horse called Rock Your World, who won the Santa Anita Derby, and he wasn't in the top five of the information that I read this morning on Thoroughbred Daily News. But yesterday, reading something on the Daily Racing Form's website, they had him, they projected him as being the second choice in the Derby. So I hope Essential Quality wins. That's who I'm going to be pulling for. That's who I'm going to be betting on. But if you want to play some exactas, some trifectas, some superfectas, there's all kinds of horses that could finish under him.
And you will evaluate those horses. You know, the Derby is a great race. I mean, you can pick. It's hard to pick the winner. You know, I mean, it's hard.
Well, the trip sometimes is the one. I mean, look at
20 horses.
Look at Maximum Security and all of those, all of the log jam they had at the head of the stretch and Country Grammar. Was that the name of the no
Country House
gets moved up to win the Derby, first disqualification in the history of the Kentucky Derby. But if you've got a horse that comes from off the pace, you've got to be hoping you get a trip, and every once in a while you do. I mean, like Calvin Bowrail mine that bird who came right up,
the rail,
right
man.
Up the rail, never had a straw in his path, and he wins the Derby at 50-1. So you not only do you have to have a really good horse, you have to have a really good trip, and you have to have a lot of luck to win the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, and but that's a day that I don't normally like to play trifectas or superfectas, but that's a day, if you really look at it and take some shots, okay, underneath the so-called favorites, man, you can hit, you can cash a nice ticket.
Yeah, my philosophy of betting, as I've said before, I'm a pick five and a pick four guy. I really love those wagers. But on Derby weekend, I cut it back to pick threes, because the races are so competitive and the prices are so good. Normally, you can't a 50-cent pick for three on a regular day, you can't get much in return for that. But you look at Oaks Day and Derby Day, pick threes pay very well, and of course it's easier to pick three in a row than it is four or five.
no way. I've never seen anybody shoot the 4-point shot, right? It's always a 3-point shot.
All right, it's time to go to the break at the top of the hour. You're listening to Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Louisville.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 per hour plus a $175 weekly bonus for some shifts. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.